The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Mark 4:26-34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the seed, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
My name's Brian Salter. I'm one of the pastors here, and delighted to have you with us this morning. Look forward to meeting you if I haven't already. We are in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has been telling many, many parables, and I want to pray because these parables, as we just heard read at the end, these parables, as is said in verse 34, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. It's Jesus, by his Spirit, who makes these parables clear. This is no work of a man, of a human. This is the work of God, so let's pray that would happen now. Let's pray. We do ask now, Jesus, by your Spirit, that you would come. As you did with your disciples, you explained the meaning of these things. Would you bring that meaning to our hearts today? Would you give us faith to believe that what you describe is true and is real? Would you enable us to orient our lives around the truth of what we hear today and give us repentance where we fail? And give us faith to go forward and to engage in your kingdom in this world. In Christ's name, amen. If you want to see this parable, or at least the second one of these two, on display, I invite you to go to the World of Coca-Cola in Atlanta. And the reason I invite you to do that is because in 1886, a pharmacist by the name of Dr. John Pemberton carried one jug of Coca-Cola syrup, one jug, to Jacob's Pharmacy in downtown Atlanta. It was mixed with carbureted water and sold for 5 cents a glass. And in 86, it began to sell 9 drinks a day in one city. That one jug began to produce 9 drinks a day in one city and in one country. And now, 1.8 billion drinks a day in more than 200 countries around the world. World of Coca-Cola tells you the story that came out of that one jug of syrup, a global reality where Coca-Cola is supposedly the second most recognized word in the world, right behind okay. Could Dr. Pemberton possibly have imagined in 1886, could he possibly have imagined that those 9 glasses a day would produce 1.8 billion in 200 countries? Well, a similar question comes to the disciples in this text. They're listening to Jesus. He's saying quite remarkable things. And in the face of the mighty Roman Empire, in the face of that reality in their day, could one so seemingly obscure, so small it seems as Jesus, this one from this place called Nazareth, could this one really bring the kingdom of God to earth and take over the world? If we're honest, you and I consider the same thing. You and I ask the same questions because we live in a world full of threats, full of powers that make Christianity and its claims seem weak, small, threatened. Could it be that this claims and the reality of this one person, Jesus, really is taking over the entire world? This morning we'll see in the text that we should not underestimate that which God activates. Do not underestimate it. His kingdom is like the growth of a small seed. It's often unrecognizable at first, yet it powerfully advances and it is ultimately unstoppable. The first thing we'll see is the growth of God's kingdom seed is often unrecognizable. As we study today, I want to examine both parables at the same time through each of these points. The growth of God's kingdom seed, it's small, is often unrecognizable. And you begin to see the nature of it being in obscurity, unrecognizable, as you see really three things that make it unrecognizable. First, it's unimpressive. And you see that in verses 26 and 27 of the first parable. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. In verse 31 of the second parable, it says, verse 30, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. You see, the growth of God's small kingdom seed is often unrecognizable because it's unimpressive. What Jesus describes in verse 26, a man scatters seed on the ground, was so ordinary, was so pedestrian. It was something you would have seen so often. It was so unimpressive that you think, that's what the kingdom of God's like? You chose that? What about a mighty Roman military? But you chose an ordinary farmer scattering seed. And then you chose the smallest of all seeds, the mustard seed. See, the kingdom of God's often unrecognizable because it's very unimpressive. It doesn't capture us at the start. It seems so small. We prefer the impressive. We prefer the thing that grabs our attention. We prefer the sensational. And yet, to live by faith in light of the kingdom, you have to live in light of the reality that it comes to us small, very unimpressive, much like right now. You may be unimpressed in this very moment, but God is casting His seed upon the soil of God's people. In this very moment, more is happening than you even realize. And that's what God's kingdom's like. And that's why we often miss it, because we like what's impressive. It's unrecognizable also because it's unfamiliar. In verse 27, you read, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Though he does not know how. It's unpredictable, it's unfamiliar, it's uncontrollable. This farmer says, I go to bed, I wake up, I go to bed, I wake up, and hidden to my sight, something is happening underground. that is totally unfamiliar to me. It is an organic process that I cannot control or even explain altogether. And so that's why the kingdom of God is often missed by us. Because, right, we prefer what we can control. We prefer what we can explain. It's often unrecognizable because it's unhurried. It's unimpressive, it's unfamiliar, it's unhurried. Just look at that first parable all by itself. Verse 28, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head, as soon as the grain is ripe. In the midst of Mark, that's rather quick in its pace, Jesus just slows it down and takes you through the very slow, incremental process of kingdom reality. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Verse 32 of the second parable, it's planted, it grows. You miss the kingdom of God so often. You and I miss it. It is unrecognizable to us because we want what is fast. We want what is quick. We want what is sensational. We want what is controllable. And Jesus says, that's not what the kingdom's like. In our house, there's markings on the door jamb. Perhaps your house has one. Of slow, unimpressive, incremental growth of four different kids. They just grow in these increments, and then you look and you go, you're taller than me. The kingdom of God is like that. Often unrecognizable in the day by day, you would miss the growth because it seems so slow, but it is so sure. Does this not sound like the one who brings the kingdom, one who speaks this parable? Jesus, unimpressive, unfamiliar, unhurried. Consider this one born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Consider that his birth is announced to despised shepherds. I mean, if you were going to come as the king of the world, wouldn't you announce it to someone more impressive than a bunch of lowly shepherds? That he would be rejected and crucified as Lord, that Isaiah 53 would say of his appearance. He grew up before him like a tender shoot. A little shoot, unrecognizable, like a root out of dry ground. Ah, we could miss that. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. See how often the kingdom is missed? You see how often the king is missed? Because he doesn't meet our expectations, and yet then he's rejected and crucified as Lord, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. People hide their faces because he was despised. He is not esteemed. And even in his resurrection, he announces that glorious truth to, in that culture, at that time, what was devalued? Women. He comes to the ones who were overlooked and he says, I'm alive. In the face of the grand power of the Roman Empire, he announces his arrival to shepherds and his resurrection to those the culture devalued. And then he calls 12 ordinary, obscure scoundrels in the face of the mighty Roman Empire and says, you're going to take over the world. It's what the kingdom's like. It's often missed by us because we prefer what is impressive, what is fast. You know, that's why John the Baptist asked Jesus. He sent his disciples to Jesus when he was about to get his head chopped off. If that's happening to you, you kind of want to be sure. And what he was seeing was not impressive. It didn't stand out to him. Will you go ask him, my disciples, are you really it? are you the one? Because it sure doesn't look like we thought. To which Jesus says, indeed, I am. So the growth of God's small kingdom seed is often unrecognizable, but yet it's powerfully advancing. Verse 28, we saw already the process of the stalk, the head, the kernel, the ripe grain. But look at that phrase in verse 28. All by itself. The word in the Greek actually is where we derive the word automatic. That the seed in and of itself has this remarkable power. That all by itself, it's producing something. Verse 32:8, when planted, it grows. What a simple statement of the kingdom of God. When planted, it grows all by itself because there is power in and of itself of the kingdom. Now, please understand, Jesus is not contradicting himself having told the parable of the sower that you heard a few weeks ago. What he is doing is saying two different things about the kingdom in two different ways so that we understand it in its large scope. The parable of the sower has to do with the reality and the need for responsive hearts to the word of God. But these two parables have to do with the power of the seed, the power of the king and his kingdom, the power of the word. Yes, we need responsive hearts, but we also have faith in the power of God's word and work that all by itself, apart from anything in and of us, it's planted and it grows. The kingdom of God, yes, is often unrecognizable, but it powerfully advances. I shared this illustration 3 years ago at Easter. I share it again. That in Italy, there is the grave of a man who died centuries before. He was an unbeliever. He was completely against Christianity. And as a statement against Christianity, he had a huge stone slab put over his grave. So that if by chance there was a resurrection of the dead, he would not rise. He had insignias put all over the slab saying, I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe in it. But a funny thing happened when he was buried, it seems. An acorn fell in his casket. 100 years later, the acorn had grown up through the grave, split the slab, and was now a tall, towering oak tree over all the insignias. One minister looked at it and said this, if an acorn, which has the power of biological life in it, can split a slab of that magnitude, what can the acorn of God's resurrection power do in a person's life? Do you believe in the powerful advancement of the kingdom seed? That God, who plants his word and his work in us, breaks through all the slabs that we put in place to build his work. He is powerful. His kingdom is powerfully advancing. If I were to ask you, what are the top three influences in the world today? I think that many of you would answer and say, terrorism. Many of you may answer and say, politics. Some may answer and say, the global economic reality. And there may be more answers. But how many of you, if asked, what are the top three influencers in the world today, would say, one, number one, the kingdom of God. It has begun by this king. It has been planted in the soil of our world, and it is advancing, and nothing can stop it. Hidden from our eyes, yes. Seemingly insignificant, small, and obscure, yes. But with the eyes of faith, it marches on, more powerful than any other influence we see. And that influence is spread through what? This thing we often overlook that seems so pedestrian to us. The Word of God. Christianity. Amen. The Word of God. 1 Peter, listen, chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Just listen. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. To which he would later say, all men are like grass, their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. That word planted in the hearts of his people and in our world is the most powerful reality in this world. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. It is the dynamite hidden in the ground that explodes salvation reality. Even in 1 Corinthians 3:7, Paul writes, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Is that the reality you live in light of in a world that seems as though there are threats and powers that seem as if they may undo us? Yes, it's often unrecognizable, but the kingdom of God is powerfully advancing. Third, it is ultimately unstoppable. Verse 29, you see the end of the harvest. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. There are two things here that you see are ultimately unstoppable about the kingdom. First, you see in the first parable, the sickle. In the second parable, keep reading in verse 32. When planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. The two things in these parables that show that the kingdom is ultimately unstoppable are the sickle and the shade. The first parable takes you to the sickle. Now, what you may miss there is that this is an imagery of judgment upon the day of the Lord in Joel chapter 3. Now, the people gathered around Jesus are hoping that the day of the Lord has come, which means you're going to kick Rome in the teeth, right, King? And we'll take over. And yet the day of the Lord is different, smaller, more obscure than they thought. And yet it certainly will come in a harvest. The sickle imagery. Those who lived in that culture would have known any sickle imagery is judgment, end of the day sort of imagery. The harvest is unstoppable. The end will come. The sickle will strike the grain. Because it's ultimately unstoppable, I plead with you, do not miss out in this season of sowing. For in the day of harvest, it will be too late. Do not miss out in this season of sowing to plant the Word of God inside of your heart and around you to all those who are near, for it breaks through with power. The sickle is sure. This is the day of planting. It's ultimately unstoppable in the shade. Look, the mustard seed, the smallest seed, ends up yielding this tree that is 3 by 12 feet. it produces this enormous tree. The small seed, listen to this, of God's word brings shade for God's world. The very small seed of God's word brings enormous shade for God's world. The shade meaning is lost on us, much like the sickle meaning. The shade meaning is picked up in Daniel to show what a kingdom is like when you have a tree and birds perched in it. It's to show the expanse of the kingdom. But in Ezekiel 17, just listen. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it, and I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. Now listen, on the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it, and it will produce branches and bear fruit, and birds of every kind will nest in it. And they will find shelter in the shade of its branches, to which later in Ezekiel, it will be told to us that the birds represent all the nations. You know what Jesus is saying here? This often unrecognizable small seed is powerfully advancing in such a way that, like Pemberton's jug of Coke that started with 9 glasses in one city, that went to 1.8 billion a day in 200 countries, that's what the kingdom's like. It will expand from this place as he's speaking to the Jewish people. And it will go to all the nations. It is unstoppable as it grows to be a tree producing shade for the nations. Where the nations are devoid of the shade and shelter of God's kingdom, we must go plant. We must go place the seed in those lands, for this is ultimately unstoppable. As Frank said in the announcements, we've just returned from London, from England and Scotland and the United Kingdom partnership, and I'm telling you, we saw these parables. We saw what was often unrecognizable. We saw what was powerfully advancing. We saw what was ultimately unstoppable. As churches are being planted throughout the United Kingdom, bringing the hope of the gospel to a culture that says we want none of it, to where one church planter in Salford, who is planting out of Ralph Cunnington's church in Manchester, would say this, that as he walked to his car, in his drive, or he has walked outside of his house, his neighbor yelled at him from across the way, "Are you saying that God forgives mortal sins?" That those conversations are happening. To which the church planner said, "Oh, yes." That in City Church, where Ralph Cunnington is, that church is full of 180 people at capacity and are planting 4 churches in the region of Manchester. And as I mentioned to you last week, have churches in Dubai, UAE, Kiev, and Connecticut. To where we sat in Scottish Parliament for our meeting. And we had a member of the Scottish Parliament look at us speaking like a kingdom parable, and he said this: if the church went on strike for a week, Scottish society would fall apart. A Christian Scottish member of parliament saying the kingdom of God is the most powerful reality in the world. You can walk the streets of Scotland and England, and perhaps you will be prone to think it's not here. No, it's underground, and it's advancing, and it's unstoppable. You may remember one runner in the 2012 Olympics. His name was Leo Manzano. He won the silver medal in the 1500 meter. He was often overlooked because he was 5'5", very small man. One Texas doctor confirmed that his heart was the size of a 7-foot man. And so he was described with these words: he has a Ferrari engine in a Pinto body. And that's the kingdom of God. It is a Ferrari engine, often in a Pinto body. And therefore, it is often unrecognizable, but it is powerfully advancing, and it is ultimately unstoppable. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Plant the seeds in and around you. Our God is at work. Let's pray. We thank you. We thank you, our King, that these kingdom truths are real. They require faith. We must not live by sight. So give us faith. They require us to live obscure lives like farmers scattering seeds. Help us to do that. And help us to do that encouraged and in faith, that throughout all lands and all nations, this kingdom is advancing and unstoppable. We pray this in your name. Amen.